Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is my dear friend Megan Buchanan. And Megan Megan is going to talk about determination and discipline. I think that's an important thing to talk about, because without discipline, you could be determined as you want to be, but without the fire in the belly to do it, it's not going to happen, right?
Oh, it's so true. And especially for like a long-term goal, I think it's absolutely essential to get you where you want to go. I mean, if you're talking about a shorter-term goal, it doesn't take that same level of discipline, but let's talk about Everest, for example. So here I am where I'm going to have to train for the third year to reach my goal. And because I trained for a year, then it was canceled before I even went this year. We were so close, but I knew immediately when it was canceled, I want this. I still want this. This is still my goal. So I'm going to have to train again, which is great determination. And kind of when we talk about, when we've talked in other shows about grit, it is the same things in my grit of resilience and tenacity. Like those are the tools you need to reach a long-term goal for sure, that determination and dedication.
So, you know, like everybody else, some days are better than others. On the days when you're a little lazier than other days, do you beat yourself up? You say, you should be doing this. Get off the bed. Get off the couch.
Yes. In a way, I definitely do. Because you have to. And you've got to get up and train, because I know that every day that I'm up, you know, training is going to pay off in the long run for the end game. And I think that's hard for some people to keep in mind as well, is keeping focus on that end goal when it's a long duration. I think that can get hard. And, you know, a really good example too, first of all, when I went to Everest, I was really pleased with the entire team I was with. We were all well suited. All the training and all the work I did, I could see it in play there, and it had worked. I had done the right things, and all of that dedication paid off, which is really amazing. But I did have a moment too where I got back from my second rotation, which we had gone all the way up to the Khumbu Icefall, Camp 1, Camp 2. We had tagged Camp 3, which is about 24,000 feet, and come down. But in that 5 to 6 day period, my body went through so much, and I could tell I had dropped a lot of weight in those 5 to 6 days. I had not taken in enough calories. And then I was really, really weak, and it scared the crap out of me. I was filled with doubt. I was, you know, sitting there and thinking to myself, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I'm not strong enough. I'm not going to make it. And I went and talked to my guides, and they, you know, quickly calmed me down, explaining that this is what happens to the body, and I needed to be taking in more calories. I was already eating so much. I was so tired of eating. But that is a perfect example of kicking right in gear. I wasn't going to mentally quit. I wasn't going to turn around. So I did what I needed to do. And literally, if I was awake, I needed to be eating. So I had these high-calorie, really great pro-meal bars. So I cut them up. I kept them in a baggie, and I kept them in my pocket, and I just kept eating on them. And, you know, it took several days, and my strength returned. And then I was ready. Like, hikes were better again. I was ready to go. But I really, really faced a couple days that I was down on myself. But, you know, at least I have had enough practice where I do know that the only thing that's going to pull you through is yourself getting up and, you know, and putting in the time and the work to meet that goal.
I never heard anybody in my whole life ever say tired of eating. I mean, everybody everybody likes to eat, right?
It is funny, and my friends are like, oh, when you get home, I bet you just need to, you just want to eat, and we'll go. I'm like, no, I want salad, and I don't want to eat all day long. Like, my jaw is tired. I know it's kind of a dream life you're living, but yeah, you do get tired of eating. you have to stuff it in. It's crazy.
So when you got back, were you thinner than when you had left?
I think that's such a great question. I actually was just talking with one of the co-owners of the companies I climb with, Climbing the Seven Summits, and they're undergoing a lot of pain right now because there are people who did not get the summit that are so angry right now. I'm not bitter. I'm actually not bitter at all, and I wasn't from the moment it got canceled. Because I think I have a better understanding. And again, that's why I go talk to people about grit. I've lived it. This was not devastating to me. I understand it was devastating to other people, but this was disappointing. I have seen devastating. The people who lost their life on the mountain to their families, that's devastating. I've been through devastating, and this was disappointing. And I think that, you know, this too, I learned, this was a personal journey for me. I learned such amazing, deep things about my resilience and my tenacity and my drive to a new level I had never experienced before, which I know is a gift. I'm grateful for that. I am so well prepared to go back and summit. I know what it takes. I know what it's going to be, and I'm so ready. Sure, yeah, it would have been really awesome if we had just gone for it and gotten there. But we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and I also recognize that every single person that decided to go this year, they need to own that there was a risk that COVID would affect us. I mean, we left when America, United States, was just really rolling out vaccines for everyone. Who on earth would think that Nepal would be fully vaccinated? I think that's one of the sad things that I've seen with a lot of the people. I think it's a very entitled view that they want to blame everyone else and not take ownership for the risk we all took by going this year. So, nope, not bitter. Just trying to figure out how I'm going to raise the money to go again next year.
Now, how many people that you say are angry and bitter, how many of them would you say has the goal of the seven summits like you do?
Great question. I'd say like half of them. There are a lot of seven summiters at base camp.
Wow.
And, you know, and I do say there were a lot of angry people, but I do definitely want to mention also the people that do have the mindset of something bigger than just this one event. And they do value, you know, human life and safety over all others. There definitely are those people as well. But I was actually surprised with how many people are so angry that we didn't summit and didn't take ownership. But yeah, there are a lot of people that have the goal of the seven summits as well.
You know, I think about the seven, you know, you climbing Mount Everest, and you've got to train your body to climb the highest mountain in the world. That in itself is totally remarkable. What would you say, oh my God, what would you say, or how did it change your perspective as a whole.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think, what this podcast is about, is that determination and that tenacity. And it taught me, again, how to truly focus in on you know, a goal. And how I tell you again, like I think if anyone followed like my Instagram or my Facebook posts, in the airport getting ready to fly there in the very beginning, I was tearing up already felt so accomplished by just getting to the point of being ready to climb it. Because it takes so much work to get there and sacrifice, you know, on weekends. Nope, friends, I can't go, you know, I can't go to Cabo with you. I got to train. I can't go late nights because I got to get up early and, you know, go put in the time on the mountain, the 6 to 8 hours hiking. So it is very much a discipline and a long-term discipline. You've got to do it day after day to get to that point. So it did help me really feel accomplished, you know, just to be able to get there and be ready. And then when I was hiking and climbing in the Himalayas and I was strong and prepared, it was really rewarding. It was so rewarding that all of it was worth it. And even people are like, well, you didn't summit. I don't care. It was so worth it because I accomplished, you know, so much to get there, and I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
Now, how long ago did you break your leg and the doctor told you you might never be mobile again?
It was actually 10 years ago, last February.
Okay.
So, I know, time flies. And it was really probably 2 years after the accident that I finally had gotten things solved and actually went to Everest Base Camp, probably like 2.5, so about seven and a half years ago, I had climbed the Everest Base Camp. And that, after my accident, I had repaired, and I think that was the moment that I was like, huh, I feel really good, I think. And that's when I kind of decided to go do Kilimanjaro again. And then it just all, the seven summits was born out of that.
So, you know, determination and discipline, I think, speaks of what you went through. If a doctor tells you you would never be what you were before, and you said to yourself, I'm going to be more than I am now, that takes courage. Wouldn't you agree?
I so appreciate that. My first word that comes to my mind is stubbornness, but it does, you know, or denial. I'm like, it could have been denial I was going through, but I guess. And again, I think that builds on, because at that point in my life, I had already been through so much of, you know, with dyslexia and them telling me I wouldn't accomplish much there and saying, forget that, I'm going to become an aerospace engineer, and being a woman in engineering. And so I think I already had that resolve and that tenacity at, you know, 36 years old when I broke my leg, where I was like, all right, we just got another challenge to take and we're going to do this. And so, you know, but really through the leg break, and then being able to climb again is what really solidified in me this knowledge and understanding of grit, and, you know, wanting everyone, I guess, to be able to apply that to their everyday life. Everyone can start building that determination and dedication. And again, we talk about this all the time. Everest is big. So you start with something small. Start with something small, like I want to run a 5K. And you put in the time. You start with, you know, one day you walk a mile, and then you walk 2 miles, and then you run half a mile. And you just start building in the same way. And it is even climbing Everest, it is literally one step at a time. And the times that I would get super tired or, you know, we'd be on a long day, that is the mantra in my head. I will say to myself is just take one more step. And you just keep saying it over and over again, and you just keep moving through it. And, you know, and I love for anything you do, and this can be for any goal. It doesn't have to be a physical goal. It can be furthering your education. It could be anything you want. You need to have a mantra. And when you are feeling down, you chant it to yourself. You be your own cheerleader. I am strong. I do not give up. I will take one more step. And you get in this rhythm, and I almost like start singing it to myself, and I just keep moving. And it's a little practice that you can do to help with that, you know, that grit and that determination.
You know, not many people have a goal of the seven summits or even the high peaks in upstate New York. But what you're telling me can be a lesson for everybody. You can't, not many people want to do the climb mountains, but what you're teaching everybody is no matter what your goal is, that you can have that determination and you can have that discipline to achieve anything you want to. What do you think?
To overcome any obstacle. And, you know, and of course it applies to every single person, male, you know, female, fluid, children, adults. But I really do, you know, I like to focus in kind of on kids, especially because I think when you're building your self-esteem, but really women too, because I think generally, and I think it's better, you know, I'm in my 40s. I think younger generations, the messaging is getting a little bit better. But as women and my own personal experiences, engineering, mountaineering, any of these things, you're constantly told you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. You're not good enough to do this. And so I think it's extremely important, especially for women. You have to be your own voice and your own cheerleader when everyone else is telling you, you can't do this. And so that's, I think, you know, and again, any obstacle. I had a weekend with my family and my cousins. And I'm so sorry right now. I am outside with my little dog and there's a street cleaner coming by. So it might be noisy for a minute. But, you know, my cousins and they were talking about the battles that they have with food and diet. And of course, their battles with it is emotional. And we got really, really deep and it kind of opened my, that is their obstacle and it always has been, is emotional eating. And we really got down to some, I asked them, I said, why don't you feel your worth putting healthy things, you know, in your body and living the life you want to live? And everyone got really teary. And I know, you know, one of my cousins said to me, it's because I'm so afraid that I'll fail. I can't do this. And it's the mental block that she's having. And, you know, it's one of those things too. It takes great determination and dedication and that resilience to change your eating habits after 40 or 50 years. But you have to say to yourself too, worth this. And it gets down back to self-love. And so the mornings, you know, that I was training for Everest and I'm tired or exhausted or I don't want to do it, I literally will lay there in bed and say, do you want this? Do you want this goal? You're worth it. Get up and go do it. But as women, we have a very hard time believing that we are worth it. Just generally, I kind of think that we were, and I had this talk with some of the women that were climbing at Everest. We were raised to hate ourselves, kind of by society. Society was teaching us we should hate our bodies. We should, you know, hate our minds. And it's time to start turning that narrative around. And you have to, and fake it till you make it, and tell yourself that you are worth it. and get up and go do the activity or make, you know, healthier options eating because you're worth it. And you have to start telling yourself that every day until you finally believe it.
Yeah, but when you see somebody on TV like Kim Kardashian, who is, you know, fashionably slim, she's got beautiful makeup, and most of us are not, you know, in the same league as she is. So when you see somebody who you might not be able to attain what she looks like or what she does, that's a big barrier to people, right?
Yeah, and I guess so then, I guess what that gets down to then, the core is how do you define success or your goal? If your goal is to look like a Kardashian, and that's your goal in life, I think you can still have, you know, the resolve and the tenacity to make that happen with, you know, surgery, dieting, hair extension, you know, just whatever it is. But I don't, you know, that that's definitely not the kind of goals that I'm talking about where, you know, these goals are how to really improve not, I guess, your physical appearance, but your insides and your now, of course, like any sort of athletics or eating healthier, of course, the outsides are going to, you know, look slimmer or whatever, but I'm not sure how to say this. I don't think that physical attributes aren't a long-lasting happiness or goal. That's not going to improve anything. Because we all get older, we all change, and then what do you have? You know, if building your education, your contributions to society, you know, learning to really love yourself for who you are, those are the kind of goals that will give you long-term happiness, I think.
Yeah, but there's such there's so much where society almost demands that you have to look wonderful. You have to be a size 2. You have to wear the right lipstick. You have to have your hair just so. And if you fit that criteria, then you have a green light to do what you want to do. In other words, physical appearance is primary in a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's what I mean when I say we were taught to hate ourselves by society, by advertising, by marketing. That's exactly what I'm saying, because the majority of people don't look like that. And so if we don't, then we should be ashamed of ourselves. That's what we're taught. And that is why there are so many people that are unhappy. And I am saying those are unattainable, well, not unattainable, but those are not the goals that people should be focusing on. Because if you do work on that self-love and loving who you are, then you will achieve happiness, not being a size 2, you know? and
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't... and I think there's, and if those are the friends and the people, if that's what the people around you value most, step one, go find different people to hang out with and to support you. You should be around people that support higher goals and not just physical mm-hmm. goals or material goals. And that is a problem. And you know, one of the things that I've seen, I do hope that the awareness in society is changing on that. I'm a huge fan of Lululemon. I wear Lululemon like pretty much it's my uniform every day. I wear them constantly. One thing I've noticed lately in their advertising, they have completely changed the people that model their clothing in advertising. They are starting to feature women and men of all sizes. And I think that that is amazing because Lululemon was always very associated with just the, you know, the most in shape of in shape. But they are showing all body types now, which is really amazing. And I give them great kudos for changing and doing that. But we need to make a decision as a society. And it takes women, like your podcast of Women Who Inspire, it takes women empowering other women on how to achieve that self-love, not based on physical appearance. We have to support each other to get there.
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, we can talk about this forever, right? And it's
so
hard.
We're
almost... I'm not saying it's easy. Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard to change self-perception, right?
Yeah. It takes, I mean, I know we're almost out of time, but I have to tell you, to another level, I finally, on this Everest trip, had a moment where I truly, finally, I just turned 47. At 47, I'm like, I am good enough. But everything I've done, I'm good enough. I don't have to prove anything else. And for the first time in my life, I truly, truly believe that. And, you know, and I've been on this path for quite a while, but how remarkable at 47, it's taken me this long. And because it does, it's a constant journey and choice to decide to love yourself every day. And it's a while. And you got to have that determination and that tenacity to get there, to undo all that society or others try to tell us. So,
right.
Again, it's
right.
Not easy,
okay.
But
that's
it's
it.
Attainable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's a daily practice.
So, Megan, we're out of time. So I'd like to talk to you next time about the culture, the different cultures. You've climbed a number of different mountains, and I'm sure you've learned different cultures, and every time you go. So next time we talk. And subsequent interviews, let's talk about the different cultures and what you've learned from those cultures. Would that be okay?
I would love to. Yes, that'd be amazing. And especially being a woman in different cultures. That's fun.
So you're listening to Megan Buchanan, and you've got a website called Grit, right?
GGRIT.com, yes.
And I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Megan, I just love talking to you. And
I love talking to you.
And we'll talk again. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Bye.